Some of the places in my life that's comfortable, God is challenging me. Trust and believe.
Hello, this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports. There are updates. In updates, there are numbers. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
Everybody, this is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to wgxc.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live, it's fresh, it's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them?
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz & Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026. Or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You have tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre. The Daily Freeman is reporting that Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro has filed the necessary paperwork to run for New York's 19th Congressional District seat in the U.S. House of Representatives in 2022. Molinaro, a Republican from Red Hook, filed a statement of candidacy with the Federal Election Commission September 17th. He did not immediately issue a statement about running. Molinaro, 45, is in the middle of his third four-year term as county executive. He previously served as a state assembly member, county legislature, and as mayor of the village of Tivoli. In In 2018, he ran an unsuccessful campaign against incumbent Democrat Andrew Cuomo for governor. Next fall, Molinaro will likely be challenging Democratic incumbent U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado of Rhinebeck, who is now serving his second term in the House. The district could be reconfigured and renumbered before the 2022 election, but because Molinaro and Delgado live in adjacent towns in northern Dutchess County, they will likely wind up in the same district. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Nancy H. Smith, founder and director of the Columbia Children's Center in Greenport, is no longer with the center, acting director Emma S. Hershauser said. Hershauser shared the news in a September 17th letter to parents and guardians. The New York Office of Children and Family Services, which licensed the facility, has confirmed that Hershauser is the acting director. In her communication to the center community, Hershauser did not specify if Smith left of her own accord or was fired. She also told parents that the state was looking to revoke the daycare center's license. According to the OCFS website, the center's license to operate as of September 17th was pending revocation, and it has been removed from the state's referral list. The center remains open. During two separate inspections of the facility conducted last week, OCFS found violations of seven state regulations. State police began its investigation into the center on September 9th after receiving reports of physical child abuse, said Aaron Hicks, public information officer for Troop K. That probe is focused on the conduct of one unidentified employee who is, quote, no longer reporting to work, unquote, said Michael Howard, the center's attorney. No arrests have been made. Police are looking to speak with anyone who is a current or former client of the center. They can be reached at 845-677-7300. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ancrum Planning Board has requested more information before it decides on the application submitted by Fred Schieberger, the owner-operator of G&S Excavating of Ancrumdale, to remove thousands of yards of sand and gravel from a farm field along the east side of Route 22, just north of White House Crossing Road. At the board's September 2nd meeting, Chair John Ingram noted that he had received an updated project map from Schieberger, which shows the change in topography the excavation would cause. Ingram told Schieberger that a few issues still need to be addressed. He said information was missing from the short environmental assessment form, such as mention of the wetlands on the property, delineation, setbacks, and buffers. The board had also requested Schieberger develop a stormwater pollution prevention plan and obtain a pollution prevention plan permit from the DEC. The planning board member also raised concerns about the presence on the property of the bog turtle, a threatened species. The application, dated May 5th, has been under consideration by the board for the past few months. Schieberger, said a knoll in the field must be removed in order to make the terrain safer for the operation of farm machinery. He is acting on behalf of John Langdon, a Copaig farmer who for 20 years has leased the 108 acres, where he grows soybean and feed corn. The property is owned by Anthony Palumba, who applied previously to the State Department of Environmental Conservation for a permit to operate a 73-acre gravel mine on the property, but was turned down. The current project proposal calls for the removal of 20,000 cubic feet of sand and gravel over a 15-month period. The excavated material would then be delivered to landowner Palumba's block factory in Dover Plains. Project opponents, many of whom are residents of the Boston Corners area and project neighbors, are demanding evidence that the project is necessary to farm operations and not a short-term mining enterprise. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Lithuanian composer Martin Rock engineers the collision of ambient noise and cinematic forces in his music, and will venture into deep space with him on the next Deep Threes. Plus, music from Christina Pato, VJ Iyer, William Onyebor, and Nina Cherry. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts sunny skies in the forecast on Sunday with a high of 70 and a low around 50. Monday, sunny is also the forecast with a high of 71 and a low around 52. And Tuesday should also be mostly sunny with a high of 68 and a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David Gorin of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
A radio network, an empire upon an empire.
I make no promises.
You on the mark.
With one purpose only, to point out and make public the dishonesty. Now in complete control of the government of this state.
There is only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Tracy. I'm the program director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm from near Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
You share first.
Okay. Well, I wanted to know if you knew that September is library card sign-up month.
Wait, what?
September is library card sign-up month.
No, I heard you.
Do you have a library card?
Yes.
What's your favorite thing about it?
I can just bring it to the library and get in the, it used to be before COVID in the summers, I'd go to the library about once a week and I'd bring my school year backpack and I'd bring my library card and I'd literally fill my backpack with books, read them all, return about half of them back to the library the next week, and then replace that half with new books, and then read the old half, return those the next week, replace the half, then read the old half. It just keeps going on and on. That's why I did in the summers until school started.
Mm-hmm. And does COVID. Your school have a library?
My new school does. It's really amazing. And what's great is it's not like a typical library. It's instead of you having a library card or having to pay a fee, it's pretty much a trust system where you don't have there's no due date. Well, it's preferred like after about a month you bring it back, but pretty much you get like a month and you just have to tell the librarian, Miss Rodriguez, and then that's really it.
That's pretty cool.
And you get to read it. Yeah.
A lot of public libraries.
I was going to read a book from the library in my classroom, which is pretty much a few small shelves with books. L'Invisible, it's the best. I will bring it next week, and that's why I will share. But sadly, I left it at school accidentally.
Oh, well, we'll look forward to that next week.
I'm very excited because during the summer I had to miss like 6 weeks in a row of BBB.
And now you're back.
Okay, warning. I just heard thunder. So yeah, I might have to migrate to my closet.
That won't really do a difference though.
What?
I didn't hear it, if that helps.
True, but Zoom does. It's weird. Zoom amplifies all the sounds you don't want people to hear. Like... your mom running the vacuum cleaner downstairs or you farting and yet it doesn't play the sounds you want people to hear, like thunder or your voice.
Well, we'll see how far we can get.
Speaking of books, me and a friend are writing a book together.
Really?
This friend is, you know, the one who I talked about earlier.
But what's the book that you're writing together?
So we just came up with the idea today. During class, we sat next to each other and we kind of doodled. It is science class. And she and I just wrote down a piece of paper, a few ideas for books, and we came up with one together, which is going to be, so pretty much it's two sisters, a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. And the 10-year-old gets COVID and dies of it. And then the 12-year-old discovers a time machine and tries to go back in time to her sister.
To save her? Wow, that's a very timely piece.
Thank you. And
sci-fi elements.
Also, I have a book that I'm going to write on my own, which I came up with for during science class, which is going to be called Alexia and the Time Machine. It's going to be about a girl my age, 10, and she gets bullied a lot at school because she's very into science and technology, and she finally discovers how to make a time machine. She writes down the plans, but she left the plans at school accidentally and it fell out of her locker. And so this person found them. And so they get all the fame and credit for it, yet she came up with the idea. So she builds the time machine that she planned, and she goes back in time to try to release the idea before the other person does. And, you know, it's probably going to be hard for most people to believe that a 10-year-old has designed a time machine. So the story will be kind of about that.
Interesting.
And it's going to be called Alexia and the Time Machine. I will share both when they are done. I have a feeling the collaborative one will take shorter than the one I'm doing alone.
It's always easier with help.
Yeah. My friend's a really great writer, so I'm excited. This is our first time writing a book together.
Are you writing really collaboratively on the computer? Like, are you using...
So what we're doing is we're starting a Google Doc for it. And pretty much she shared it with me, so I can type in and she can type in at the same time on different computers.
That's cool. You can work at any time then.
Yeah, it's great. And we want to be free at the same time. We just do it whenever we're free. And then I want to give her progress reports. So I shared the Google Doc for, I put my book that I'm writing alone on Google Doc and gave her viewing permission. I'm probably also going to give my old teacher viewing permission because I want to see what she thinks.
Oh, yeah, that's great. More eyes will help you edit.
Speaking of eyes, I just saw your cat look at me.
Oh, sorry. He's dying to be on the show.
He's cute. What's his name?
That's Ollie.
Aww.
He's very old.
Aw, how old?
He's 13, 14 almost.
Wow. What breed? Yeah.
He's a Bengal.
Did you know that most cats live between 16 and 20 years?
Really?
Yeah, so you still got a lot of years.
Yeah. I have another cat, too.
Aw, who?
Her name is Anime.
Anime? Aww. How old is she?
Very, very round. She's a very round cat. Oh, she heard me say her name, and she's looking at me now.
How old is she?
She, I don't know exactly, but she's more like probably 10.
Oh, I have a cat named now. Elizabeth, who's 6. Aww. I've had her for 5 years, so we're very close.
Aww.
To the closet I go. This is becoming very disruptive and distracting to me. Thunderstorm, seriously going into my closet right now. Luckily, I recently decluttered my closet. And luckily, there's a big enough gap under door to fit the cord.
Georgia broadcasting from her closet.
Me live from my closet. I think the ceiling's kind of thicker in here.
Do you have any books in there?
Shoot, I need to go get my book that I'm gonna share. Because I'm gonna share my book. Georgia coming back live from the closet. There we go. Booming broadcast. So I'm in here just in case. I don't really need to be in here because the thunder's not very loud, but I think I will stay in here just in case. But there is a crack between the doors. But anyways, I'm going to share my book.
All right, that sounds great.
More thunder. I'm glad I came in here. So I think I haven't shared this yet. I don't think I have. It's called Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. I might have shared.
I'm sorry.
Who was that?
That's my cat meowing.
Which one?
Ollie.
Meow. His meow is cute. Mine is, my cat's is meow. It's like she screams. She scream meows. When she's mad, she goes, okay, back to books and away from meows. Hi, Ollie. Cute. So, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. It's kind of a really cool book. It's a bunch of little mini one-page little stories about different women in history. Mm. Like, there's Alec Weck and Jane Goodall and Catherine the Great, just a bunch of different women in history. There's even Cleopatra, and every single illustration is done by a different person. So all the illustrations of the women look very different.
Are the illustrators women as well? Do you know?
Yes.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes. Would you like me to read one?
Sure.
So just name a random woman you would like to hear about, and I bet they have it.
I'd like to hear your favorite.
What's my favorite? Ooh, I know my favorite. Where is it? I'm not into ballet. I don't really like it for myself. There we go. Page 140. There are a lot of pages, by the way. So my favorite story in here is Michela de Prince. I think it's pronounced Michela. I don't know. I've only read it. I haven't heard it. The illustration is very pretty. Would you like me to read it? It's only a page.
Yes, please.
Okay. Once a girl called Michela lost her parents during a terrible war. Michela had vitiligo, a skin condition which caused white spots on her neck and chest. Because of how she looked, the people at the orphanage called her the Devil's Daughter. Little Michela was lonely and scared, but so was a girl called Mia. When Michela was afraid, Mia would sing her a song. When Mia could not sleep, Michela would tell her a bedtime story. They became best friends. There we go. When Michela was afraid, I'm glad I came in here, it's pouring. When Michela was afraid, Mia would sing her a song. When Mia could not sleep, One day the wind blew a magazine to the gates of the orphanage. On the cover was a picture of a beautiful lady in a sparkly dress, her toes pointed. She's a ballerina, Michela's teacher told her. She looks so happy, 4-year-old Michela thought. I want to be like her. Soon afterward, she is taken on a long journey. She and Mia got separated. To stop herself from being scared, Michela started to dream. She dreamed that she and Mia had a mom and that she is a ballerina. At the end of the journey, a lady came up to her, saying she wanted to adopt not only Michela, but Mia, too. All of Michela's dreams were coming true. My clothes are blocking the light. All of Michela's dreams were coming true. So where was her tutu? She started searching around. What are you looking for? Asked her new mom. Michela showed her the magazine. You can be a ballerina too, her mom said, smiling. Michela devoted herself to ballet classes and is now a ballerina with the Dutch National Ballet. She is born January 6, 1995 in Sierra Leone. Never be afraid to be a poppy in a field of daffodils. That's a quote from her. They always have quotes. And for radio listeners, you will not be able to see this, but the drawing is incredible. It's very detailed and it's very beautiful.
It is very beautiful. Will you say the quote again? It kind of cut out a little bit.
Never be afraid to be a poppy in a field of daffodils.
Oh, I like that.
That's and beautiful. Then I'll read the reviews since I don't think there's a description. A must-have for the nightstand of every girl or young woman you know. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls reinvents fairy tales, inspiring girls with the stories of 100 heroic women from Elizabeth II to Serena Williams. Illustrated by 60 female artists from every corner of the globe, this is the most funded original book in the history of crowdfunding. Oh, well, not every page has a different illustration, but most do. These are bedtime stories we should be reading to our daughters. These bedtime stories trade princesses for women who change the world. Children who read this at bedtime are guaranteed some big and inspirational dreams. The best bedtime story you'll ever read. And then let's see how many pages this is. This has 200 pages. Write your story. Draw your portrait.
200 pages and every single page is a different person?
Well, there are 60 different, so not
every. Oh, okay.
Well, for women or for the illustrators?
I was thinking of the women.
Oh, then yes. And then there are 60 illustrators who illustrate all the pages.
Wow, that's amazing. You know how you and your friend are writing a story? Maybe you should try to see how many people you can get to work on one story. Like how many classmates could you get on one Google Doc writing the same story?
Ooh, that'd be crazy, but I think Molly and I have a specific idea. Also,
for a different idea.
Also, the boys would be like, and then the time machine goes big boom. Oh my gosh, a few years ago, there's a write your own story page. A few years ago, I wrote one and drew a portrait. My drawing style was so different. I admit, the portrait of me is really not very good.
I bet it's great.
It says, once upon a time, a girl named Georgia was baking, as usual. Usual spelt wrong. She has always dreamed of owning a bakery. She has always called it Knitley. Baking constantly, Georgia improved her baking. She always thought she wanted to be a painter until one day. She is 8 when she chose. Georgia wasn't a normal girl. She loved to get wet. She had short hair. She never wanted to wear makeup, and she hardly even wore dresses. Her hobbies are sketching, playing soccer, cracking jokes, and of course, baking. And I wrote my quote, do what your heart tells you instead of fading in.
I love
the
that.
Portrait I drew.
That's so good.
I wrote this a few years ago. I don't remember writing this. Oh, wait, I kind of do. What's so funny is I think I wrote it when I was 8, like right after I chose I wanted to be a baker, like the day after. So
wait, these are blank pages that are at the end of the book you just told us about?
Yes, at the
end
of the book.
And now you're a part of the book? That's amazing.
Yes, at the end of the book, there's a write your own story page.
That's so great.
And you get
great.
To write a story about a real person. It's really cool.
That is really cool.
It's in the back of the book. Did you know that I share a birthday with Yoko Ono?
No.
Well, she wasn't born in 2011, obviously, but no. February 18th.
Neat.
That's it for me. What about your book?
Well, this isn't the book I was thinking of sharing, but you reminded me that I've been flipping through this book called Homemade in the Oven. It really makes me think of you because it's all baking, but it's not just desserts. It's vegetables or meals or different categories like that. But each recipe is illustrated too, which I know that you like. And something I really like about this book is...
That's amazing. I want that cookbook.
You have to...
Wait, is it a cookbook?
If you visit the library, I'll show it to you. Yeah, it is.
Ooh.
So this is one I'm going to make soon, baked
Will you always
steak.
Be at the library?
I'm there most days, yeah. One thing
I go into the library, book, where will I find you?
Oh, you could always come. If you don't see me out in the open area, my office is on the left when you first walk in. Like, okay. If you're looking at the library, you know how it looks like a castle, and there's the round part, it's inside there.
Where are you right now?
I'm at home because I didn't have
I
time
love the wall color.
To get back. Thank you. I just painted. So one thing I like about this book, in addition to the illustrations and that the recipes look delicious, is that it's organized by what you're making, but it's also organized by month. So like if you go to the vegetables section, you can flip to September. And it'll choose recipes that, or it shares recipes that are suited to the month. So maybe it's because that's what's going to be producing a lot in your garden. Or maybe, you know, if the summer you don't want to leave your oven on for 4 hours, they won't include a recipe like that. And yeah, I just like the idea that you could follow along throughout the year and cook different things.
Say a minute ago, I'm not having good internet. You said something, but I didn't hear.
I was saying that the book is organized by month, so it will share specific recipes related to what might be growing in your garden at the time or what's suited to the temperatures, like if you don't want it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really neat.
I want that.
Yeah, you have to pick it up. Homemade in the Oven by Yvette Van Boven. Truly easy, comforting recipes for baking, broiling, and roasting. That's the full title.
Nice.
I have another book that I was going to talk about.
Ooh, tell me.
So this weekend, the library, well, some of our listeners will hear this broadcast on Friday. Some will hear it on Sunday. On Saturday, there's an author coming to visit the library named Jared Reinmuth. And he's coming to talk about a book called Big Black, Stand at Attica. It's a comic. It's the story of Frank Big Black Smith and the Attica Prison Rebellion of 1971. And I'm reading it right now. It's really powerful. It's a page turner. It's extremely interesting. And it's all about a very important part of American history. I know you'll want to know what age groups it's relevant for. It says it's geared towards those who are ages 15 and up. So it might be a bit violent for you. But when you get older, you should read it. And for any young adults or adults who are listening,
I can't wait.
You should come to the library Saturday at 12:30 to get your book signed.
Hopefully I can come to the library then. I don't know if I can. I probably shouldn't get a book signed if I can't read it for 5 more years.
Yeah, it might be better for your mom or your older friends. So we're just about out of time for today. We hope everyone out there listening has a good week filled with quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about more books. Until then, happy reading.
Happy reading, people. All I need is one. One more man is enough. But if you got it all, it's time I feel to trust. To trust. Words of love.
You say those words like you hate me now. Our house is burning when you're gazing low. You're in the ashes, your soul is gone. Don't be afraid of these thunder clouds. These thunder clouds, oh no. These thunder clouds, oh no.
All I need is love. All I need is a word. Where did love go when all is said and done? Where did love go? You put the running into.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This Sunday, there will be the region's first Latinx festival to celebrate Hispanic heritage and culture. Joining us to talk about this is David Kitwisaka of Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. Welcome, David.
Hi, it's good to be here. How are you?
Good, good. So from September 15th to October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month. Can you tell us about a bit about the celebration that the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is a part of to celebrate this?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, so first things first, my name is David, and I'm a community navigator for Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. I've been a volunteer for a couple of years, and I've joined the team. Very excited to be on board. And we are hosting Hudson's first ever parade and festival for the Latinx community this Sunday, September 19th. It's going to be from 12 to 6. And it's been a dream of one of our founders, Juan Sanchez, who has lived in Hudson for about 20 years now. And he's always wanted to see something like this happen. And we're very excited to be able to finally do this with help from the city itself and the Hudson Tourism Board. Everybody's on board to celebrate the community, you know. After the disproportionate effect of COVID and the economic crisis on our community and the essential work, the workers, they work so hard to get us through it. We think that they all deserve to be celebrated and to celebrate at this event. So that's what mostly this is geared for, is a celebration of the Latinx community in our area. And to let people know we are here, we celebrate, everybody is invited, you know, and also in celebration of Latin Heritage Month, of course.
Who will be performing and what kind of events will we see at the festival?
Great. Yeah, so it's going to start out with a parade that's starting in Hudson. It's going to start at 7th Street Park and Warren Street. We're going to meet there around noon. Members of the community are going to get together. We, as of now, have seven or more countries being represented in our parade. And we're going to start at 7th Street Park and march down Warren Street all the way to Henry Hudson Waterfront Park, where our celebration will take place. And we have great artists like Taina Asili, who is a Albany-based musician. She does really great music. I definitely recommend everybody check out one of her songs called No Es Mi Presidente, which is one of my favorite things to just bop to around the house. We have a traditional Latin folklore music group called Trio Candela will be there. A mariachi band called Mariachi Mexicano Tradicional will be there as well. And they will be also be marching in the parade. So that's going to be great to march with. A Mexican dance group called Ilusiones de Mi Tierra will also be performing. Another group called Triquis Sin Fronteras is another Mexican dance group that we're excited to have join with us. We're going to have a Zumba class on stage perform, led by Ana Paula Gallien. And then our DJ is DJ Gio, who will be performing throughout the day. We're really excited to have these people on to perform throughout the festival. We're going to have vendors there. I'm really excited to announce that a lot of Mexican and Latin restaurants in our area will be at the event selling their foods for everybody. It's Magdalena's restaurant in Valencia will be there. Casa Latina, based in Hudson, will be there. Yerba Buena, based in Castleton, will be there. Angel's Latin Restaurant, based in Catskill. And Tequila Sunrise from Valencia will also be there selling their food. We've got a lot of artists who will be selling their wares and accessories. Ones I want to name off the top of my head are Loida Moreno. She will be selling jewelry there. And we have traditional Mexican clothes, belts, and accessories sold by Luz Ruiz and members of the group Triqui Sin Fronteras, who I mentioned will be performing, will be there as well. Vida Backpacks will be there. Community member Margarita Espinoza will be selling bags, scarves, earrings. Kendra Fowler will be there selling croc jewelry, which I'm actually excited for, bracelets, assorted items. Alternative, which is a store out of Albany, will be there selling indigenous clothing and jewelry. And we'll definitely we'll have a clown there. Estrita Guisa will be there. She is a clown who does face painting, balloons, children's activities, and the Hudson Youth Department will be there as well, as a presence, being there for our children. So yeah, I think that we've got a lot in store. A lot of members of the community can look forward to great food, great music, and to pick up some great wares from local Latinx artists in the area.
Sounds like a great festival. A lot of good food.
Oh yeah, we put
a lot of
work into it. Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Is this really the region's first Latinx festival, or is it just Hudson's?
So I will say it's Hudson's. I know that a couple of years ago we had a Latinx festival, but I can say with full confidence that this is our first ever parade and festival. So a celebration throughout the city. That's what I will say with 100% confidence that we're really excited to bring that to the region.
Sounds really, really cool. Part of this festival is also to bring awareness to causes such as the Fund Excluded Workers. Is it not?
It is actually, yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things that Columbia County Sanctuary Movement does is we organize with immigrants and allies in our area to collectively support, empower, and defend our communities. One of the ways we did that was we got behind this coalition who wanted to fund our workers who, through the pandemic, went to work as essential workers, but never received a stimulus check, never received any help from the government. So last winter and last spring, we organized, we protested for them. There was a hunger strike that we supported our members who went through a hunger strike in order to get the governor at the time's attention. And we won. We won that. We won the Fund for Excluded Workers. I'm also really happy to say that we've been helping people apply for the fund so they can get their well-deserved funds. And at the festival itself, we will have application assistance there. So if you would like to learn more about the fund, to see if you qualify, or if to just apply right away, well, you're more than welcome to do it at the festival.
David, that is such important work that you're doing. This is Kathy. I've got another line of questioning for you. And that is just to acknowledge that for communities to celebrate their heritage is so important, and it must be a moment of great celebration for the Latinx community in the area. But then how do you handle the inevitable issue of showcasing ethnicity, so to speak, for the dominant culture's entertainment? I imagine this is something that your group wrestles with all the time. How do you navigate that?
So there's a thing where, if I can get personal for a second, I've lived in our area for about 4 years now. And when I first moved here, I used to live in Southern New York. When I first moved here, I had like an issue with identity because I didn't feel very much welcomed in the area. I didn't see a lot of people like myself. I'm myself a Latino. And then I found Columbia County Sanctuary Movement and I became a volunteer, and I was opened up to this world of people who want to make everybody feel equal here. Like, regardless of where you come from, regardless of the language you speak, everybody here is included. I've felt nothing but warmth and love ever since I joined Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, and I want to bring that feeling to everybody in the region. So that's what we're focusing on, is showing different sides to this region, and just knowing that everybody is invited, everybody is welcome. Maybe, you know, somebody will come to the festival and realize that they really like the music they're listening to. They really like the food they're eating, and then, you know, become an ally and support. So that's what we focus on, is just making sure people know that our Latinx community is here, and we support and embrace everybody.
Lovely.
Thank you, David. This is thank you for this interview. Where can listeners find more information about this festival?
Oh, yeah. So we have it all on our website, and that is sanctuarycolumbiacounty.org. You just type that in, and you'll see right there at the top of our website more information, even a countdown to the festival. Just click on those links, and you can learn more about our vendors and about our musicians who will be there at the festival.
Thank you, David. Hope to talk with you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was great. Hope to see you guys there.
Thanks, David. So again, that's this Sunday, September 12th, 12 to 4 p.m. at the Henry Hudson Riverfront Park.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
We out here trying to educate, trying to inform, trying to organize, and trying to teach the people some revolutionary political power and have them to arm themselves. We know that once the people are armed, those people cannot be oppressed. They cannot be repressed without any type of retaliation. And retaliation is the only thing in the world that's ever going to stop fascism. It's not a question of nonviolence or violence. The question is between resistance to this fascism or either non-existence within fascism.
People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers honing. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Why is that harassment? Because the people that harass me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently, and they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people, and if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just... it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization that will be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not, and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people.
About the people. We're going to stand together. We're going to have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance of solidarity. We're going to have some progressive whites, all of us. And we're going to march on this pig power structure. And we're going to say, stick them up. We come for what's ours. Up against the wall. Power to the people.
The young wish to say.
rise to the old for achieving their goal. It is now up to us, and we know we must build up a trust. And we want the power of the people. That's all we ask in our country. Protect them and those who may live in fear. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power for the people. Yeah. Everybody knows hardening crimes is a part of the challenge. But it's rough for some people to leave. Disease moving fast, but it don't have to last. It is now the nation's turn for all to be concerned. We can be free as steel. It is the people's will. We want power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. Protect them and those who may live in fear. Power for the people. Power for the people. Power, power, power. Power for the people.
You might murder a freedom fighter, but you can't murder freedom fighters. And if you do, you come up with people that you thought should be acting like pigs, just acting like people and moving on pigs. And that's what we've got to do, regardless of what these people think we should do. Because nothing's more important than stopping fascism, because fascism will stop us all.
Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. What kind of phenomena? Social phenomena. What is the social phenomena? Black people, Mexican American, any kind of people begins to learn that the social phenomena is that in fact, U.S. racist, decadent, capitalist, imperialistic America is a police state. That a police state exists here, that these pigs are doing nothing but protecting the avaricious businessman and the demagogic politician, protecting the exploiting system that they got going. That in fact, we are tired of it, we are sick of it, you've been brutalizing black people, you've been murdering and lynching them, black people are tired of it. Black people are the vanguard of this revolution all of a sudden, and it's phenomenally correct also, but we are concerned with that social phenomena. We are concerned with that exploitation. We are concerned with the oppression that black people and all other peoples in the world who are suffering the same common oppression that we are suffering today. The thing is that we have the ability to define it. Still, if we have the ability to define it, the only next thing to do is get organized. Get organized.